The federal government says it's the world's biggest customer, and when you add up all of the money it spends, it might have a point, but right or wrong, that claim is rubbing some people in the vendor community the wrong way. Roger Waldron's the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement and joins me now to explain. Roger, I want to start by thanking you for inviting me to participate in the 2015 Fall Training Conference a couple of weeks back. I appreciate that opportunity to come and be with your members and hear more about what's going on in their worlds. You got a nice big round of applause from folks when you said, I'm paraphrasing, about this biggest customer claim. I wish they wouldn't say that. Why do you wish they wouldn't say that, Roger? Thanks for being on today.
Well, first of all, Francis, thanks for participating in our fall conference. That was a great session and a lot of great dialogue, and your facilitation was what put it over the top. So I appreciate that, and our members appreciate that. And I guess the reason why I said that is that I think what happens when the government, or the perception, let's say, that the private sector has, is that when the government uses that term, we're the biggest buyer, it's to your point at the beginning, they're taking lump sum numbers and trying to extrapolate from that and looking to, quote, leverage, you know, requirements. And frankly, it's a much more complex question than that. There's, you know, obviously different market sectors, whether it's office supplies, IT, professional services, that make up everything the government buys. The government is many different places with many different buying profiles, whether it's DHS or the Department of Interior and delivering supplies to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. There's a lot of nuance and a lot of complexity to the federal market, and trying to lump it, and the concern is lumping it into saying we're the biggest buyer and we can just basically create a one-size-fits-all. That's the perception. Doesn't get to what I think the government fundamentally needs to be thinking about right now, and that's how to make it easier for companies to compete in the federal marketplace. The government does not drive any markets. You see that in the concern on Capitol Hill with regard to technology and access to innovation and trying to promote acquisition reform to get greater access to the commercial marketplace for the Department of Defense, because quite frankly, the Department of Defense no longer drives, you know, technology or particular markets. And even, you know, the Secretary of Defense talking about access to Silicon Valley, that's because people recognize it's the commercial market that is driving, you know, innovation, whether it's innovation in delivery of supplies and services or innovation in technology. And then more fundamentally, you know, a traditional commercial company, the federal market represent, or the revenue from federal sales probably represents 1%, maybe at most, maybe 2% of their overall sales, typically. And that's and accompanying that is increased risk associated with government contracting, and also, you know, reduced margins just because of the complexity of the process and the government unique requirements. So the concern fundamentally is that when you say we're the biggest buyer, you know, are you the best customer? That's what I would want to be. How do you reduce regulation? How do you get to commercial item contracting? How do you get, you know, less complexity in the process so the government and industry can focus on actual requirements and statements of work and performance of mission requirements to meet the needs of customer agencies and the American people?
I guess my big takeaway from the event, Roger, was if it's as difficult as it is, and it appears to be getting more difficult from some of the concerns that people registered both during the session that you and I did and afterwards, And now with the 1-2% number that you just laid out that some of these companies are dealing with, I guess my takeaway is I'm surprised that as many businesses fight as hard as they do to stay in the federal space and work at it as hard as they do. I would think if it was that difficult and that challenging for 1-2% of your revenue, companies probably wouldn't work as hard at it as they seem to.
I think it's a fair observation. Companies leave the market in different ways. I think there's been a growth in the use of manufacturers actually using distributors or resellers or dealers to sell to the federal government rather than doing it directly. They're sort of shifting that some of that compliance requirement and the burden in the overhead burden to, you know, third parties and selling through third parties rather than dealing with themselves, and also that avoids some of the risk. I think that's a market strategy for some companies, and I think it's an area where where the government should recognize that reducing regulation and reducing risk, you might get greater access to those companies directly. I also think, and I think it's fair to say that there's a lot of folks who care about our government out there, and they work for government contractors, and they do want to support our government and support the missions that it delivers. And so I do think that there's that aspect of it as well, that psychological piece of that of the calculation that people actually think about and do care about. Companies do, and you heard it at the meeting. Companies say that as costs increase, those who work in this market for traditional commercial companies have a harder and harder business case to make to their senior management as to why they should stay in this particular market.
Yeah, Roger Waldron is the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement. I think the most compelling argument that I heard there was the quarter-to-quarter argument, where the bottom lines of the companies are judged by Wall Street on a quarterly basis, and something I hadn't thought of before that came out of the conversation there is that the salespeople for those companies are also judged quarter to quarter, whether they're going to make their commission structures and bonuses and so forth. And yet, in the government selling space, it's a much, much, much longer cycle than quarter to quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of making that case to senior management about why it makes good business sense to be in the federal market. And, unfortunately, one of the things that I think there's a recognition at the leadership level that this is a significant concern. You can see it on Capitol Hill with the NDAA and, some of the acquisition reform legislation that provisions that are in that bill to try to get greater access to the commercial marketplace and innovation. You see it in the language that Ann Rung in their memo from last December with regard to promoting commercial item acquisition. But at the operational level, the policy operational level, it's fair to say that we, in the private sector have not seen that translate into, active efforts to reduce regulation or eliminate provisions. To the contrary, we've seen, proposed rules that actually will increase transactional costs and actually reduce access to innovation. The recent DFARS rule on fair and reasonable pricing for commercial items, essentially will make it much more difficult for new commercial companies to bring innovative solutions that they're just currently offering for sale to the private sector. The transactional data reporting and that proposed rule of GSA, which will significantly increase costs for government contractors. And on that issue, one of the things that I want to make clear on transactional data reporting is I understand the government wants to understand what it's buying. And that contracting officer should be able to see data if they so choose. The issue is that the government is trying to shift all the cost and risk associated with that to the private sector to report that information of data that the government already has in its possession. And we believe the government should take a look at how it can manage its own data and collect its own data internally first before it goes and imposes a new reporting requirement. Again, another burden that impacts margins, makes it more difficult for commercial firms to do business in the federal sector. They should look internally first to address that before imposing new costly requirements on the private sector. So although there's a recognition of being a better customer, that doesn't seem to translate in any changes in the regulations. And that, again, I think goes to that issue that there's more of a focus on being, we're the biggest buyer, so we're going to try to leverage everything and a one-size-fits-all approach, as opposed to how can we be more strategic in the long term to reduce you know, government unique requirements that limit access to the entire commercial market, and that would increase competition by reducing regulation.
Roger, it's great insight as always. Thanks again for the invitation to join you and your colleagues, and thanks for coming on the program this morning.
Well, Francis, we'll have to do it again sometime.